Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Galatians. We're going to chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 6 here. But what I'd like to do, let's go ahead and start reading at verse 1, or let me read to you. And it says in Galatians 6, 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted." And it says, "And bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Now, let me stop there. That's not our text. We were there last Sunday. But the reason I wanted to read this is that because chapter 6 that we're reading is a continuation from what a spiritual man is in chapter 5, okay? So it continues even now. It says, "Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches, and do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing what? Good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those who are of the household of the faith." And the church says, amen. This morning, I want to talk to you from this text, beginning in verse 6, about a time to sow and a time to reap. We've now come to the conclusion of this great epistle. And we know that Paul's epistle is one of the greatest written next to Romans. And the reason is he defends the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And we know that we're saved not by works or being good, because none of us are any good. Amen? But we're saved through God's grace. But what blows me away about today is that the text that we have before us so identifies with what we are about to do on the campus. Amen? I mean, we're getting ready in just whatever was on the screen, what's that called? The announcements. I'm rolling this morning, man. Yeah. The announcements said 39 days till Candy Cane Christmas. No, no, it's 25 days till Candy Cane Christmas. You better not, 39 days, you'll miss it. No. And it just, everything goes perfectly, this text, with what we're about to do, because we're God's whirlwind for 2019. Amen. That's right. Great things that the Lord is doing here. So, you know, Candy Cane Lane is about to come alive, and it's going to be happening next week. The word good that we're going to have repetitive in our text this morning is a beautiful word in the Greek. It literally means noble or beautiful or worthy. It means excellent. Matter of fact, it's the same word that is used in John chapter 10, verse 11, when Jesus says, "I am the good Shepherd, the supreme shepherd." See, when we do good, which is a fruit, amen, of those who walk in the Spirit, goodness, all right? Now listen carefully. When we do good, we now demonstrate the active goodness of God living in our hearts, amen? And that's what we're getting ready to do here. We're getting ready to sow good things into this community. What happens when a person sows good? What do you reap? Well, you reap more than good, as we're going to find out. It's better than what you've done. God always does exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think, according to the Holy Spirit who is living in us. Amen? So with all that being said, this whirlwind that God is forming, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:3, "Trust in the Lord, do good, feed, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness." That's what we're getting ready to do, as we have already done. We are trusting in the Lord and have been doing so since the beginning of the year. And now things are starting to gel. Amen? They're starting to happen. There's a movement. There's an excitement. But there's also a warfare. I am pleading with you that you start interceding for this great event. I can promise you that the devil does not want any single mom raising their children, grandparents raising their children's children to even be here. He wants us to be confused. He wants who knows what he's going to try to do, but it just means he's afraid. We win. Amen. With all that being said, are you at Galatians 6:6? Let's start out. This is one of my favorite verses. You probably love this one too. Let's look at it. Let him who is taught in the word, meaning the word of God, share or literally provide for in all good things with him who teaches. Now, who's the one who teaches? Who? Pastor Bill. No. Do you know that supporting ministers, missionaries, whatever, do you know it goes all the way back to the early church? It's not something that's new. I know that most people believe that pastors shouldn't be paid anything. All they do is play golf all week long. They never have to work on a sermon. It just snaps like that. They got it down. You know what I mean. They probably work 20 hours a week, right? Follow me. Paul starts out, he tells the church, all the churches of Galatia, he says, listen, he says, do good to those pastors that love you. Do good to those who share and teach you the word of God, teach you the word, the spiritual treasures. You who have material treasures, return the favor. In other words, bless them so they can live too. Amen? Remember what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He said this in 1 Corinthians 9:9 about ministers and missionaries and teachers of God's word. Paul writes, he says, for it is written in the law of Moses, goes all the way back to Moses, Deuteronomy, I believe it is. He says, for it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen that God is concerned about? Paul says. Well, is God concerned about oxen? Well, of course he is. Yeah, he likes oxen. He created them. Amen. You know what Paul just said there? He's making a statement, a question. You see, during the law of Moses in those days, that if a Jewish man did not take care of his oxen, in other words, while the ox was doing all the labor, all the work, maybe treading out the wheat or whatever, grinding it or whatever he was doing, if to muzzle that ox was a cruel thing to do. And so if that occurred, the law said, go scourge that man for muzzling the ox. So Paul continues and he says, or does he say it altogether for our sakes? And Paul says, yeah, for our sakes, no doubt, it is written that he who plows, we're talking about sowing and reaping now, he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things, Paul says, for you, meaning eternal things, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? So the word of God is eternal. The temporary things are the substance of this world. Amen? So what Paul is saying, he says, if God cares about the ox, you better care about that pastor. You better care about that missionary and that teacher and so forth. Don't muzzle them. They get hungry too. They have to eat. Look how skinny I am. You know? No. So he says not to do that. Matter of fact, he goes on later in Corinthians. In Corinthians, I don't know, I think it's chapter 9, of course, but verse 14. He says, the Lord commands you to take care of those people, the ministers and so forth. Now, he says, now, because of that, look at verse 7. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for a few things that a man sows, that he will also reap. Is that what it says? Let me read it again then. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So Paul warns the churches of Galatia. He says, you better stop deceiving yourselves. And you better stop being misled. He said, those teachers, you know, you need to remain with those teachers, remain in fellowship with those teachers that are teaching you the truth of the gospel, that a man is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. Amen? He says, and you better run from the Judaizers that are bringing you a different gospel, that are teaching you that you know, it's Jesus plus this is how you're saved. In other words, it's works. You got you believe, but you have to do this or you're not saved. You have to become a Jew under the law of Moses, be circumcised or whatever. No, they were putting them into legalism. Paul says, you run from those people. It's not law, it's grace, loved one. Amen? So Paul says to do that, and he says, stop deceiving yourselves because you're mocking God by doing that, and God is never mocked. The word mocked literally means to turn your nose up, to turn your nose up to God, or to sneer at God. It's a contemptible word. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do. God says, I'm not mocked. And you say, well, now, Bill, I hear people mock God every day. That is true. But here's the deal. They're not going to get away with it. Amen? No one mocks God and gets away with it. Ernest Hemingway, a great writer, you've probably read, you know, some of his great, great novels. He was a different kind of man. You know, he was very loose in his morality and so forth, a heavy drinker, all the rest of those things, and he would make fun of God, and he would say, like, the Lord's Prayer. And when he would do, he would say, our nada, which art in nada. What does that mean, nada, in Spanish? Then, am I saying it right, nada? I said, I know, I'll just check and see if you knew. No, you know, that's contemptible, isn't it? That's turning your nose up unto the Lord. I got an email. It was horrible. It broke my heart. This person mocking God. And you know what? He was holding up a placard. And you know what he said? Listen to me. He said this. He says, if Jesus returns, kill him again. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment. Every work. Including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Don't be deceived. God is never mocked. Amen? Yes, some days there's going to be a payday. So whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I love trees. I love bur oak trees. You know, a bur oak tree, you know, their leaves are huge. They have gigantic acorns. I mean, you could probably, if you've, like right now, they're really falling. And some of them, they'd probably knock you out if you walked underneath and they fell on you. You know that's not true, but it sounded good. But I have bur oaks in my yard, and so I go out, and what I've done on this one bur oak that we have is huge. And it came from a farm in Texas and from a lady who was, worked on trees. And so she has a picture of herself standing under the bur oak on her grandmother's farm when she was just a little girl. And that bur oak is gigantic. I mean, it's one of the largest in Texas, by the way. So she grew from an acorn, just the little seed, the acorn, for me. And I planted it, I guess, 20 years ago. I don't know how long, maybe 25. And it is gigantic. So I went out and I not too long ago, and got all the little acorns. And, you know, you take the little husk off of them and make sure they're not cracked and all that. And so right now I'm planting them in a little pot, and I water the acorn and all. Are y'all interested in this? Okay. And so you have to turn the acorn the right way. You have to leave part of it, you know, where the sun can hit it. And you have to have it with the south sun, if you will. And I'm waiting on it to sprout, and I'm going to plant it on the other side of the house. And then the other ones, don't tell anybody, I'm trying to grow them for the kids in Halton Christian School. Yeah, maybe they'll eat an acorn, I don't know. Why did you say that? I said all that to say that everything on earth, everything, every person, everything on the wind, the waters, animals, everything is sowing and reaping. Did you know that? See, they're carrying seeds. And so that's why you say, well, how did that get, why is that growing over there? Well, a squirrel took it over there. You know how, you follow me? Or a bird sat up on the tree and boom, you know what I'm talking about. And that's how all these seeds, they go everywhere. So everyone and everything on earth, man, they are sowing and reaping, and it always results in a harvest. Always. Always. That, loved one, is a law. The Bible says, whatever a man, any woman, any believer, any unbeliever, whatever you sow in this life, you're going to reap. It is a universal law from Almighty God. It is unchangeable. It can never be revoked. Do you understand? Now, thank God our sins are washed away, okay? So don't start worrying. I see fear, you know, cropping up. No, don't worry about that. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're a farmer and you go out and you sow wheat, does the farmer go, man, I'm so worried. I don't know if wheat's going to come up. Do you understand? Does he do that? No, why? He sowed wheat. When you sow wheat, you don't get corn. Is that right? Okay. See, the harvest is always going to be identical to what is sown. Now, with all that being said, it's impossible for anything else to come up out of that ground. If you sow wheat, nothing else can come up. I mean, of course, weeds and whatever, but wheat is wheat. So when you sow into your life, your marriage, raising your children, loved one, you're constantly sowing. Sometimes you reap things you don't want to reap. Sometimes you get older in life and you say, I wish I had not sown that. Amen? The Bible says this. In Job 4:8, it says, Job says, this is what I've seen. Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, trouble in people's lives, trouble in their marriage, trouble with whatever it might be, those who sow trouble reap the same. In other words, it's identical. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. That will be the harvest. And it also is very positive. Proverbs 11:18, he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. It can also be very negative. Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. Jesus even said that there's sowing and reaping and a harvest in the things that you hear. In Mark 4:23, Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, if you put your hands right up here, you'll know if you have anything up there, okay? They're called ears. They're meant to hear with, amen? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, but take heed, be very careful what you hear. Here it comes. With the same measure you use it, you're sowing now. With the same measure you use what you're hearing, it'll be measured back to you. And you who hear, more will be given. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Lord says. So God says this. He says, whatever. That word is extremely important. Whatever a man, a woman, a Christian, an unbeliever, whatever you sow, that word whatever means exactly what it means, whatever. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. Let me give you a few translations. How about the Good News translation? People will reap exactly what they sow. The New Living translations. You will always harvest what you plant. In one of my versions that I study with often, the Amplified version that amplifies the Greek, certain Greek words. Whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. Amazing. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Now listen, what does that tell us? It tells us that each person who sows, you are deciding what your harvest is going to be. You sow a bunch of junk into your life, I'm telling you, a bunch of junk is going to come back into your life. Amen? You know, what are you reaping? Ask yourselves right now, what are you reaping? Or you say, why is this happening to me? And then go back and say, well, it's what I've sown. You know, for example, if you don't study the Bible, you're getting in trouble. Amen? If you sow, see, studying is sowing into God's Word. So if you sow into Bible study, what do you reap as a result of sowing into Bible study? You reap a renewed mind. Amen? An unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. You'll never know the will of God. You'll not know how to defeat the devil or how much God loves you. You'll not know what justification or sanctification even means if you don't renew your mind to God's Word. Very, very important. You know, I was listening to J. Vernon McGee. You know, he's in heaven now, but I love that accent, don't you? You know, I wish I could. I really would love to imitate that. You know, that, never mind. He was talking, I heard him on the radio, he was talking about a gentleman who went to visit people in the penitentiary. And so he was, as he was walking down the cell, the guard was leading him to a certain cell. He passed a cell, And there was a prisoner inside of his cell with a needle and thread, and he was sewing his socks or whatever it was. And so the guy stopped and said, just he wanted to start a conversation with him. So he just, you know, said basically, he said, "Hey, man, what are you doing? Are you sewing?" And he said that the prisoner answered back, says, "No, I'm not sowing, I'm reaping." What a true word, amen? Now listen, did you know that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap, is a very positive thing? I think sometimes the church takes it as a negative thing. You see, a moment ago, I read all of chapter, from verse 1 all the way through. Why did I do that? Because when we read, beginning there, all the way down, we realize that those who are spiritual do certain things. If you want to know the text, always read the context. So that's why I read that earlier. In other words, if we went back to verse 1, what does a spiritual man do? A spiritual man, a spiritual woman, meaning those that are led by the Spirit of God, where the Spirit has His way. The first thing that they do is restore, amen? The second thing they do in verse 2, they bear burdens of other people. The third thing they do in verse 3 is that they examine their own work. And then when they get down to verse 4, what does verse 4 tell us to do? Is anybody going to tell me? Do I have to look at it myself? Do I have to? What is it? There you go. And then when you get to verse 5, it says for us to bear our own load, correct? And then when we get to verse 6, it tells us something that a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, those who are led by the Spirit, what they do, they are givers because they support the ministry. The Bible is very clear about sowing and reaping in your own life. Paul the Apostle, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he told them this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, "But I say unto you, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully." I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that? Okay, see, either that verse is true or it is a lie, but we know it's true. Whatever a man sows, the measure that he sows, it's measured back to him. Actually, more, to be honest with you. Yeah, see, this right here, people, is used, you know, you hear it on TV and everything. You know, this is about, get that seed in there, man. If you plant that seed, you're going to get that harvest. But yes, it has to do with money, no doubt. But you know what, guys? That's not the heart of a true Christian. That's a low motive. I'm giving to God the gets from God. You, all things are already yours. Amen? No, you're giving back to God what He has already given unto you. It's a privilege to be a joyous giver unto the Lord, to have the joy of generosity, you know, living in our hearts. You know, listen, sowing generously is never a loss when you do so with the Lord. Remember Proverbs 19:17, the great scripture. It says that he who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, a loan unto the Lord. And God says, and he will pay back what has been given. You can't lose with God. Amen? No, listen, it's Jesus or what? Yeah, Jesus. Hello, Bill. It's been a rough week. Isn't God good? Luke 6:38. What did Jesus say? Give, and you'll never have another. No, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into your bosom. For with the measure that you measure out, it will be measured back to you. Amen? That you can't lose when you sow with God and reap with God. You can't. You'll never, ever, ever, ever lose, loved one. And some of you are going, well, I'll tell you what, I sowed bountifully and I didn't reap anything. Well, then you got a problem. Maybe that problem is not God, because God cannot lie. Maybe that problem is you. Maybe you have a heart that needs to be reevaluated. Maybe the motivation of your heart is not right. Because the Bible tells us, it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. In his heart. Okay, I want to just give. Not out of impulse. You say, I purposed it in my heart already. This is what I want to do this week. Okay, praise the Lord. He says, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or out of necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, this is so vital. We only reap when we sow with the right heart motive. Does that make sense? See, if you say, oh man, like, well, I think an offering was taken. I was sleeping back there like pastors normally do. And when it went through, and you know, you may have went, oh, you pulled that $5 out of your wallet and put it in there, and it was almost stuck to your fingers. It was just killing you to give it. Well, you know, listen, you shouldn't have given it at all. Because if you can't be a give to God, the word cheerful means hilarious. Amen? God loves a cheerful giver. God says, if you can't give it to me in a happy mood, then don't give it at all, because you're not going to get anything in return. You know what I mean? Is that right? That's the word of God. Listen, to give to God grudgingly, hoping to get something back, is insulting to our Father in heaven. God says, I have a special love for those who are cheerful in their giving to me. Some kind of different, whatever that means, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, look at it. Look at verse 8 now. For he who sows to the slave, his flesh, will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Oh, what a horrible verse, man. Listen, only the Christian, not the unbelievers, only a Christian has two fields that they can sow in. You're either going to sow in the flesh, or you're going to sow to the Spirit, which is going to result in two different harvests, okay? The flesh has a harvest, the Spirit has a harvest, okay? When you sow to each of them, we know the flesh is speaking of that slave that's in us, that dead, dethroned, fallen nature from Adam, okay? And he always wants to rule. And whatever we do in the flesh, like the sins of the works of the flesh that we studied out a couple of weeks ago, it always leads to corruption. Look at it. Who sows to his flesh, of his flesh, meaning in his life, okay, not in the flesh on your arm or whatnot, it says, will reap corruption, a harvest of corruption. Isn't that a horrible word? I don't want to reap a harvest of corruption. Amen? I don't want the works of the flesh, the works of the slave, to try to take over my life. I don't want that at all. Corruption literally means to go from a perfect or a great place to a bad place, a worse place. That's what flesh is. Think about Adam and Eve. Man, were they in a perfect place? Were they perfect? Yes. But man, when they sinned, they went from a perfect condition to a horrible, worse condition. That's what the flesh always does. You sow to it. You do the things of the flesh. I promise you, listen, do you think that if Abraham had known what, when he sowed to the flesh with Hagar, the Egyptian maid, had he, when he did that, if he knew it was going to produce an Ishmael, do you think he would have done that? No, he wouldn't have. Listen, Ishmael is causing all the problems in the Arab world today. It's still with us. You talking about reaping worse, it's horrible. So when we study all these things out, we have to understand that when we sow to the flesh, it always, always takes us from a better place to a worse place. It is a law. I promise you that David, whenever he was there in his palace, when it was a time when kings went out to war, it was in the spring of the year, the Bible says. And instead of being with Joab and his men out there on the battle line, you know what he was doing. He's hanging out in the palace. I know what his problem was. And Bathsheba was over there taking a bath, and he looks down and he calls for her. You know the story. It ends up in adultery. Do you know what that's talking about, taking you to a worse condition? Do you know it says that he that does those things, or she that does those things, will be reduced to a crust of bread? Man, David would have never done that. Had he known he was going to then lie to God, he was going to have Uriah, her husband, killed, the baby that was going to be born is going to die, and then it took a year to repent, and Nathan went to him. David, God has forgiven you all of your sins, but the sword will never depart from your house. You know what happened with Amnon and Absalom and all, and Tamar, all of his children, amen? Oh, what a tragedy that was. You see, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is a law. The Bible says in Hosea 8:7, they sow the wind, but listen to what they reap. They reap something worse. They sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The Bible says, loved one, that when that happens, it always takes us from a place of worse than it was. Do you know how powerful sowing to the flesh is? Meaning the works of the flesh? Meaning to be, for example, an unbeliever? Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You've never asked Christ to be your Lord. Do you know how powerful sowing to the flesh is? Man, listen, it is the ultimate corruption. And that leads to eternal death. And what does that mean? Eternal death means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? That means that eternal death leads you to, what is it? Reaping. You never stop reaping. That's terrifying to me. Paul said in Romans 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is not physical death, eternal death. That is eternal separation from God in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. That is what I call horrible reaping. Amen? The thought of that is just horrible. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So we don't want to sow to the flesh, loved one. We want to sow to the Spirit. That's why it says, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit, he does it in us, will of the Spirit, listen, reap everlasting life. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Sowing to the Spirit means the Spirit has His way in your life. You're walking in the Spirit. You're being led by the Spirit. You're alive in the Spirit. And not only that, when you sow to the Spirit, guess what is manifested in your life? The fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Yes. And the fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, is love. Thank God for those things, loved one. Listen, I tell you, that's what I want. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life, eternal life. Have you ever really thought about eternal life? Eternal life is just not, I'm going to live forever. You are, but that's not what it means. Eternal life means that you now, because you trusted Christ Jesus, you have His life, God's life in you, the never-ending life. Does that make sense? It's a never, ever, ever-ending life. Jesus Christ is the source of all life. John 10:10, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, I have come that you might have life, my kind of life. The Zoe is that word in the Greek. His life, not your life, the never-ending life, and have it abundantly. It says in John 14, 6, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the absolute source of life. So whenever you ask Christ to be the Lord of your life, you know what happened? Eternal, everlasting life became immediately, that moment, your present possession forever. Listen to what it says in John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has, past tense, you already have it, everlasting life. Jesus told Mary and Martha, says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in thee, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never die. In the Greek, do a word study. That's in the Greek, that's a double negative. Let me read it to you. It would read like this. No, it says, he who believes in me shall never, no, never, no, never die, never taste death, never taste everlasting death, and never be separated from God. What a word, amen? Listen, I tell you, I look at that, and here's the deal. The life that we have in us right now, death can never affect it. Man, it turns me on. Do you understand? Oh, dear God, we have that in us right now. Listen, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. That's more than a doctrine in the Bible, loved one. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He says, look at it now, verse 9, very important. Look at the promise. And let us not grow weary while what? Say it again. Doing good. Don't grow weary while doing good. Why? Well, for in due season, God's perfect timing, in due season, we shall reap. Loved one, that has nothing to do about if I do good, God will save me. That's not about salvation. This is a promise from God. It says we shall reap, and here's how we do it, if we do not give up, if we do not lose heart. Man, listen, let me ask you a question. Be honest with me. Is there anyone in the chapel this morning that can come up and say, oh, Bill, I'm going to tell you what, I'm exhausted from doing good all day. That's all I do. I get out on good 8:20. I just do good out there. You know, I go to work. I just do good to everybody. You know, I'm just so worn out. Hey, brother, what you been up today? Oh, man, nothing but good, bro. I'm worn out. No. No, listen. What happens when we sow doing good? You reap in due time, at the right moment, at the exact time wants us to do that. His own timing. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, time to die. Here it comes. A time to plant. Sow that seed. It's a time to plant. There's also a time to pluck up what is planted. That's to reap what is planted. That's the harvest, amen? So there is a time to sow, there is a time to reap, there is a time for the harvesting. Why? God planned it that way in 25 days. The whirlwind of God blows into this campus. People are going to be coming from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Single mothers raising their children. Grandparents raising their children's children. They're going to be coming. This is not a time to lose heart. Amen? No, this is not a time, to faint. We're not going to do that. It says, in due season we shall reap. We're in God's due season. Listen, when a farmer goes out to plant in the spring of the year, whatever, can he calculate just a little bit when the harvest will be? Of course. So can we. We've been planting and laboring and sowing and all this since the first of the year with God's New Year's message to this very moment. Listen, everybody has been working so hard. You know what? Here's the deal. This entire campus, December 5th, 6th, 7th, maybe it'll only go for one night. We don't know. It's whatever God wants. Amen? But here's the deal. He's turning this campus into one gigantic lake. You ever been to Lake Grapevine? Okay, it's big, isn't it? That's what Jesus is doing. He's turning this place into one huge lake, but here's what's exciting. He is going then to stock his own lake. Amen? Yes. Oh, I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. He's going to put, like I said, single moms and with their children. They're all coming. Oh, loved one, listen to me. Why? So we can go fishing. Amen? That's what we're about to do. It's amazing that Jesus, our Lord, is bringing his harvest to us. We're not going out into the harvest. He says, no, let me just bring it to you. All you have to do is be fishers of men. Amen? And love everybody. He says, therefore, as we have opportunity, and we do have opportunity, as we have opportunity, here's that word again, let us do good. Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of the faith. Oh, Calvary, listen to me. God has given us an incredibly great opportunity. It says, let us do good to all. When we do that, it fulfills the law of Christ, the royal law, where we love our neighbors as our own selves. It fulfills that. Completely. It says, let us do good to all. If the church would do good to all, I believe that would stop prejudice. I believe it would stop racism. If everyone in the church would do good to all, no matter what color, nation, or land, it doesn't matter. We're all made in the image of God. Amen? If we just did good to all people, the Lord is bringing all kinds of people into His harvest here for you. Poor, lonely, hurting. Some of them are so far down, they don't know if they'll ever look up again. And some of them might not be very kind. Some of them might be kind of mean. Do you understand? Like Baptist people. You know I'm teasing, right? I'm good to everybody, even the poor Baptist. So, no, I'm teasing. You know I'm teasing. Don't get offended. Don't send me an email. I love Baptist people. I pray with them all the time. I don't want you to lose heart when we're out there if we have some ungrateful people. Do you understand? Don't you ever... When Jesus fed the 5,000, they were all happy, weren't they? They were all grateful. No, there were fornicators and adulterers and everybody else out there too, and then some that loved the Lord. No, all types of people are coming. Man, listen, I read a study yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I heard it on the radio, so I wanted to check it out. They did a study at the university, or one of the universities in Tennessee. I can't remember which one it was. Anyway, they did, I don't know how many people, but hundreds and hundreds of people. And here's what they did. I guess they attached something to their brain or whatever. And here's what they did for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was. Every day, all they did was good. They just went out and did kind things to everybody. That's all they did. I'm going to go do it. Good. I'm going to do this. I'm opening doors. I'm putting the groceries in for an elderly lady or like an old pastor like me in the trunk and all that. You know what I mean? And here's what happened. When they did the study, they looked at the brain, and as they were doing good things, giving and all the rest of it, doing these kind acts, tons of dopamine was released in the brain. Okay. You know, dopamine. What does dopamine do? It makes you what? It makes you feel good. You get the high. Do you understand? Yeah, so give more, you'll be happier. Oh, you guys are bad. Come on. No, when we get out there, you're going to do good. You're going to keep doing. You're going to love people. Do you understand? You're going to do kind things. You're going to be kind to these kids that are coming. And what's going to happen? God says, let that dopamine go. Yeah. You know, Calvary Chapel is high legally. Yes, that's what's going to happen. But we want to be good to one another, especially the household of the faith. Amen. We know, like the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death into life when we love the brethren, when we love one another. Yeah. Listen, the Lord is giving us an incredible opportunity. You know, years ago I ordered a lithograph from Europe. It hangs in the little chapel lobby right there. If you look at it, it's a famous painting of the sower. You know what I mean? He's out there in the fields. He has his bag of seed. And what do you do with seed back in that time? You would what? You would scatter it. You would broadcast it. You were sowing the seed. Loved one, you know what? That right there is what we're about to do. Prepare your hearts. Get your bag of seeds, which we know that Jesus said in that parable of the sower that the seed is the Word of God. We're going to sow the Word of God, and we're going to demonstrate the love of God. That's what we are about to do, man. And you're going to find out there are four kinds of hearts. Remember, if you study out the parable of the sower, there's going to be, there's only four hearts in the world, actually. There's the hard heart, remember? Oh, man, just beat down, packed down, and all the rest of it. Then you got the shallow heart, you know? The shallow heart is, I'm excited about the Lord, yep. Yeah, but, you know, then it was just an emotional thing. Then you have the crowded heart. You know, the Lord. But then the things of the world, the cares of this life come in and crowd out Jesus and so forth. But then you have the fruitful heart. They're going to be all here. And you are the stewards over that. God has called you. This may be the last event. This may be the last outreach that we ever have. We may be gone home. Do you understand? We don't know. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But I know that we're sowers. And the Bible says in Isaiah 32, 20, it says, oh, blessed. That means happy, envy, fortunate, or to be envied, rather. Blessed are you who sow beside all waters. Well, the big lake is going to be there. Jesus is putting it together. Listen, we're going to go out there. We're going to go sow seeds of love. Remember when Philip, the Greeks came to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. They want to see the real Jesus, not a legalistic Jesus. Amen? They want to see the true Jesus. That's what we are about to do. We're going to cast out seeds of hope into their hearts. Some of their destinies will be changed because of you. The Bible says in 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. What a great verse. Hebrews 13, 16, do not forget to do good and share with such sacrifices. God is well pleased, not just pleased, but well pleased. Do you know how powerful doing good is? Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God. This is for us, the commission by God himself. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The word silence literally means muzzle. In other words, what we are about to do, by doing this good, they'll be speechless. They'll be stunned. They won't have anything to say. The people of the city are going to go, man, when the event's over, they're going to say, did you hear what that church down there is doing? Man, I can't believe all the things that God is doing down there. And you know what? Then we're not going to receive any more sad emails at this church like we've been getting. Person, well, they're the church. Or I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember everything was told me. I don't read that stuff. The office does because they protect me. It's a joke. Well, so, oh, Calvary Chapel, yeah, we heard about this. All the single moms and all the grandparents, you just want nothing but their money. They don't have any money, you moron. Yeah, amen? No. God has the money, and we're going to be helping them, amen? Yes, dear Lord. You know, and that one guy was going, well, how come there's not any single dads? Well, and so the Sandra, Merlinda, whoever was, you guys responded, are you a single dad with children? Well, if you are, come down. We have a gift for you. You know what I mean? Come right on down. But no, of course we would help him. Amen? Absolutely. Loved one, listen, the whirlwind is coming. The time is right. Prepare. We are. And you know what we did? We already sent out that invitation, that invite, just like Jesus told us to do. Let me read it to you. Luke 14, 12, Jesus said in his parable, when you give a dinner, when you throw a party, when you give a supper, don't ask your friends and your brothers and your relatives and your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to have dinner with family. That's not what he's alluding to at all. He said they can pay you back for your goodness. Listen to what he says. But when you give a feast, invite the poor. He who have pity upon the poor lendeth unto God. Invite the poor, the lame, the blind. Invite those who can never pay us back. What a joy. And Jesus says, if you do that, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Now listen carefully to sowing and reaping and harvest. Listen to what Jesus said. You'll be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid, meaning by God, at the resurrection of the just. man. Amen. Jesus said, or Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 10, 11, right in that area, for we must all, the believer, the Christian, we must all stand, appear at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account unto the Lord. He's the judge, amen, of everything that we have done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, I want you to listen to me as I close. One day, we're all going to be in heaven together. All of us that love the Lord. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus, who loves us, who died for us, who paid the penalty of all of our sins. And you know what's going to happen? Candy Cane Lane Christmas will be mentioned in eternity. Now that is what I call reaping. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all, oh God, all the great things you've called us to do. And Lord, I know that you're going to be supplying all the gifts for those kids one way or another. I know it's going to happen. For we trust in you. We feed upon your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible privilege that you have given unto Calvary Chapel. Lord, let it be perfect weather that day, like it is right now, Lord. Let it be perfect. Not a drop of rain or wind, and let it be perfect. And Lord, save many. Let them be touched by the Spirit of God. When they come on this campus, let them know that someone is here, and they sense the Spirit of the living God, something they may not have ever even experienced. And Lord God, this morning, if there's anyone right now in this chapel, if Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you're not saved, why would you want to reap eternal death when Jesus has already paid for your sin? But you have to trust him. You have to believe in him. You have to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. So if that's you, as every Christian is praying and every head is bowed, you say, Bill, I don't know Christ and I want him to be my Lord. Why don't you lift your hand up right now? You don't have to come to this altar, but just lift your hand high and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. Last call. I'll not ask again. If that's you, quickly put it up and put it right back down. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Bill, that's me. Hurry, quickly, up and put it right back down. Those that lift your hands, I want you to do something now. I want you to pray this prayer with me. In church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I've sown so many bad things. I don't want to reap the consequences, which you said is eternal hell. So right now, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and believe it in my heart, you said you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Father, again, there's no one like you. What a great day at Calvary. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says,